show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast.
Intro!
Intro! We've been asking for a jingle that sings our names for months now.
We haven't got it yet.
You don't get it?
Make your own up.
What did you do on Australia Day? Because we haven't actually talked about that much.
I did some interesting research. I finished my puzzle first up, which was really exciting.
Did see that?
But I just had this urge to do a bit of research on First Nations people around...
Good on you.
And like the land that I've lived on over my time, because I've lived in many different places and I always knew that the Ngunnawal land was where I grew up in Canberra. Yeah, yeah. I've always known that since I was a kid. There's signs everywhere saying Ngunnawal land. But all the other different places I've lived, I just wanted to know like what that land was. And I think we always should have known. But yeah, so I wanted to do a bit of that.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say what I did because it doesn't even compare to that. Always was, always will be. That's really great stuff, Gabby. Anyway.
Anywho.
Great podcast.
Back into the week.
Back to the wacky Cliffo and Gabby that we're used to. No. We had a great chat with Cal Wilson, who was eliminated from I'm a Celebrity. Some really beautiful television involving like why she decided to do the show. We met a crime scene cleaner.
That
on the show.
Was hectic.
Plus, we found out producer Brooke has been cheating on our show and texting into Triple J.
How dare she?
Hear that coming up. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast.
There weren't many shops open yesterday. There was one, however, that fiancé Nev wanted to go visit. He worked yesterday, but afterwards he got home like 3 o'clock and he had a JB Hi-Fi voucher that he got for Christmas. So he's like, oh, let's go for a little look-see and see if there's something I can spend my money on. So
I'm picking a game.
Yeah, that's what he's looking at. Hey, he does have a Nintendo Switch.
Game guy.
He just recently got a Nintendo Switch.
He doesn't
know
yet. That's the Switch we're giving away.
Yeah, I've donated it to the
school delay giveaway. Sorry, Nev. Surprise!
He did get one. And he's
doing it for the kids, Nev. You know how it is.
He's been looking at games. He did get Mario Party for Christmas. But there's other ones he's looking at, I guess. But I wanted to steer him more towards the coffee machine. He wasn't having a bar of it. But
we jumped on the pod bandwagon over Christmas and not looking back.
Now, we have a pod machine. We've had it for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I want one of those slow drip ones now. I've moved on from the pot.
That's how they get you.
I know.
There's always
something
more.
Different. So we were there. We're looking at a few different sections of JB, and you'll know when you're there, there's always people to help. Always.
Yeah.
And so we're in the coffee section, and someone came over to help, and he was kind of looking at me funny. And we're all wearing masks at the moment. And so I was trying to really smile with my eyes to get across my emotions so he didn't know that I was cranky.
Don't you feel stupid doing that?
I feel like an idiot.
I'm smiling. look at my eyes.
Like I'm squinting real hard, so it looks like I'm smiling. But he was still kind of like looking at me more than Nev, and it was a bit confusing. Anyway, we moved on from there, went to the gaming section, got asked if we needed help there, got asked if we needed help at the drone section. That was another bit we were looking at. And every time the different people were kind of looking at me like confused, like trying to figure out what I was saying or my emotions, because I figured because you couldn't see my mouth. And in the end, I was like, have I got something on my face? Because these people are looking at me very weirdly. Yeah. It wasn't until we walked out of the shop after our shopping expedition that I went to reach up and put my sunnies on from on top of my head. Turns out I had them on the entire time. So I'm walking around JB with a mask on and sunglasses on, looking like I was some ridiculous pop star trying to be incognito.
You've walked into the store... And I guess, you know, most JBs are pretty, you know, lit up.
They're
the fluorescent
bright.
Lights and stuff, so you haven't noticed.
I haven't noticed my sunnies were still on my face. And they're also prescription as well, so it helps me see.
Is this chick going to rob us? It's like when you go into a bank with a motorbike helmet.
Have you ever heard of the Mandela effect, Cliffo?
No, I've heard of Nelson Mandela.
Well, yeah, that's who it's
Absolute
named after.
Legend of a human being.
Mm.
I've never heard of the Mandela effect.
No. So this is something I only discovered recently, and there's a few Mandela effects that are keeping me awake at night. So I needed to share them to see if you think the same way. So the Mandela effect is a phenomenon where a bunch of people remember the same thing, even though it never happened. So we all remember it happening a certain way, but when you look into fact...
It didn't happen that way.
It didn't happen that way, but we all remember it
that
way.
So history kind of changes a
little
bit.
We all confuse it in our minds, but we all do it together as a group of people. So it was named after Nelson Mandela and the false belief that he died many years before he actually did. So that's where the name comes from. But the phenomenon is that you remember it differently to how it happened, along with many other people.
I think this probably happens more than we think.
Well, I've
life.
Been looking into it, and I've had a look at a few common Mandela effects around the world. And I want to put three to you to see if you thought the same way I did. So the first one being the Monopoly Man.
You must be the Monopoly guy. Thanks for the free parking.
Yes.
Describe to me what you think the Monopoly guy looks like.
He's a short, stocky man with a top hat, with a moustache and a monocle.
Ha! Wrong. The Monopoly man has never had a monocle. If you look at your Monopoly set at home, he is on the board, he's on the cards, he's on the money, and he does not have a monocle.
See, if you were to say to me, like, and I'm going to check this. In fact, I'm going to Google it right now because I don't believe you.
Yeah.
If you were to say to me, like, what's the one distinguishing
feature of the Monopoly Man? You would say the monocle. It doesn't exist. The Monopoly Man does not have a monocle.
Okay, the Monopoly Man, I've Google imaged it now.
Right.
I'm probably looking at 100 different images.
No monocle.
Of the Monopoly Man, not one monocle.
Isn't that insane?
Okay,
number two then. You've definitely like been on the same page with me for number one. Number two, let's talk Shaggy.
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Okay, so Scooby-Doo's best friend, not the...
Yeah, it was me.
That's Shaggy.
The Shaggy cartoon character, more specifically. So the cartoon Shaggy. If you imagine him in your mind, specifically his face and neck... Is there any distinguishing feature about him?
He had a long neck, didn't he?
He had a long neck.
Very scraggly kind of hair. I know that. Green T-shirt. Adam's apple?
Wrong. He did not have an Adam's apple. So everyone remembers Shaggy to have this really protruding Adam's apple in his neck. He doesn't have one. The only way I can see this maybe getting confusing is when he would swallow things, and as he swallowed things, you'd see things like go down his neck or be stuck in his throat. But everyone,
so that's not an Adam's apple.
It's not an Adam's apple.
That's a stuck Scooby snack.
Exactly. So everyone remembers the Adam's apple? Never existed.
Okay.
And finally, before you play this audio, I need to ask you the question.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lamb Chop's song that continued forever?
It never ends. Yeah, we used to sing it on the school bus.
Can you please just say the lyrics to
this me? This is the song that doesn't end. Oh. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends.
You've got it right. Okay. I have been singing for 30 years of my life, this is the song that never ends.
Right, when in fact it is.
This is the song that doesn't end.
Yeah.
Cool. You're in the minority, my friend.
So I'm better than you. Finally, she admits it, guys.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
The latest catapult victim from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here and Evictee was Cal Wilson last night, comedian from New Zealand, and she joins us right now. Cal, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling a bit sad that the journey is over. That's what I'm supposed to use, isn't it? Journey.
And, you know, props to you because you really did make it a journey. Mm. You said something in the Aussie Jungle which really resonated with me along the lines of, like, how rare it is to make adult friends. And this is something we've talked about on the show. It's next to impossible to make new friends when you're an adult, but you were sort of plonked into a situation where you didn't have a lot of choice.
Yeah, it was really amazing, actually. I feel like the show doesn't realise what a gift it's given me. Like, I have all of these new friends now. And even if, as an adult, you do make a new friend, you might spend, like, half an hour together and then you'll catch up in a month and maybe have dinner. But all we had to do all day was just sit there and make friends with each other and occasionally get covered in vomit.
Nothing.
That's
like,
so good.
Nothing solidifies a bond like vomit.
It's almost school, though, hey, where you're just like forced to be with this group of people for a long period of time. And that's how we make most of our friends is school.
Yeah. And Poe made a really good point. She said it's kind of like a family because you don't choose your family, but you're all in the same situation. True. You just get on with each other.
You just kind of have to make it work.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like I've got these friends for life now, you know, unless they like start a mink farm or set fires or something. But I feel like I've got these people forever, like, because we've all had the same experience.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that. And so many people have said that. There was something else you said last night, though, that got us very emotional when you got emotional, when you got out of the jungle and you were talking to Chris and Julia, and it was in regards to your charity. This is what you said.
I chose Bowel Cancer Australia because my mum was diagnosed with bowel cancer about a year ago. And I have another friend.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he's doing. And I don't know whether he's left us or not yet.
Oh, Cal, you had me in tears last night with that statement. How are you, and how is your friend?
I got to see him after I got out of the jungle, but he's no longer with us. Oh, he started me off again.
Cal.
So
it's such a, Cal.
Yeah, it's such an important thing. Like, it's not a glamorous thing to talk about bowel cancer, but it's so important. If you catch it early, it's really treatable. But if you don't, it's not a great scenario. And he held on for such a long time, but he's no longer with us. And I don't want anyone else to have to go through that. So, like, when you get the bowel cancer test kit when you turn 50, it's such a weird thing to do, but use it and get yourself checked out, and go to the website for Bowel Cancer Australia. They've got lots of support for people that have the disease. They have they do research. That they're all about early detection. It's just, yeah, it's so not glamorous to talk about it, but it's just really important.
So important. I'm a stand-up comedy fan, Cal, so I'm used to, you know, seeing you make, you know, me in particular laugh a lot. So to see this other side of you,
yeah,
it's been really refreshing, and I feel like that helps even elevate the message a little bit more,
definitely,
like it coming from you. So thank you for sharing that with us this morning. And thank you for your time. Cal Wilson from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It's back tonight, 7:30 on 10. Thanks, Cal.
Thanks, guys.
We're never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one.
This is where we throw it out into the universe and hope for an interesting conversation with an interesting person that has an interesting story. And this is definitely that. We have Donna on with us right now, who is a crime scene cleaner. How are you, Donna?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Donna, so great to have you on. I'm going to put a warning out for little ears before this one. This definitely has some adult-themed kind of content we're going to get to, because you were a crime scene cleaner. So you have you have seen some stuff in your life.
I have seen
life.
It all. Yeah, I've seen it all. So if you're eating breakfast, I'd probably stop.
Okay.
Right.
That good.
There's the warning.
So, Donna, what inspired you to become a crime scene cleaner, to clean up after, like, horrific crimes had been committed?
It was something that I saw on television, and just like everyone else that hears and sees this job, they think I can do that. And I was inspired by the man that was doing it. He was in America. He was just talking about the money that he made and just helping the people. And I was the same. I thought I could do that. And so I did. I went and did it.
Have you always had a really strong stomach?
I didn't realize how strong my stomach was until I started doing that job. But yeah, there's nothing really that shocks me or makes me feel unwell. Being a hairdresser previously, I also have the people skills. So putting it all together, perfect for the job.
All right. Let's ask the question we're all dying to ask then. What have you seen?
Gruesome?
Yeah.
Most gruesome thing? Yeah.
I always think about it. It's probably one of the hardest ones to answer because they are all gruesome. I think probably the worst that shocked me was there was a gentleman that was living in an apartment building, and he had sadly passed away. He'd been there for about 10 days. Nobody knew that he was gone. I don't know how, because the hallway was lined with incense burners because the smell was horrific. I could smell it from the street. Unfortunately, from the man living below him, his body fluids had dripped through a crack in the floor and was coming through his ceiling and dripping onto his kitchen bench.
So you have had smells in houses that you've had to deal with that are so gross that everything has to be stripped. Including the paint and the carpet, I'd imagine, would often have to go?
Yeah, definitely. The smell and the bacteria from a decomposed body is one, but death by gun is probably one of the messiest. Brain goes everywhere, and it's very sticky. and trying to pull skull fragments out of the roof as well is a hard one, and getting it out of the carpet, it's just got to go.
Wow.
I've got no words.
That's incredible.
I didn't know we were going to go there.
Yeah. A little bit speechless there. Is the pay incredible?
It was. Once upon a time it was. The mark, like the I guess the career is flooded now with people that do want to do it. It's pub stories. I'm brilliant down the pub, and a lot of people want to be able to have them too.
Wow.
So people will do it for $25 an hour. There's no way. I would.
So what, yeah. What sort of money were you making when you were doing it?
Good. I was on good money. The boys out in the mines make good money, but I was making better.
More than
miners. Wow, okay. All right.
That's good. How's your head after a job like that? Like,
I'm good. I mean, yeah, I'm good. I do debrief always in my family. My sister's a firefighter, so we can always compare stories and be there for each other. It's something that if I couldn't do it, I wouldn't. It's not about me and how I feel. I do get joy out of helping people. If I was in that kind of situation, I would want someone like me to be there for my family. Mm. It's traumatic. And I mean, besides the, you know, the monetary side of things, help, you know, it's my little way to help people.
You have written a book as well about everything you've seen and done. Does it get into the, like, the nitty-gritty gruesome details?
It was something that I wrote when I was a rookie. It was my way to sort of debrief, and I used to read books about people's lives I could never imagine living and suddenly realized that I was one of those. It does in some respects, but I do respect those that are gone. So I leave some bits out of it.
So it's almost like a journal of your experience.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Well, if you want to know more, get Donna's book, Bloodstains and Ball Gowns. It's available now on Amazon. Donna, thank you for being so open and honest about your life as a crime scene cleaner. Thank you so much.
That's okay. No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
I mentioned on the show, Gabs, I would be Australia's worst travel agent after the horrendous trip that I planned to Dreamworld. Mainly for my two-year-old son, Charlie, who is absolutely obsessed with the Wiggles.
Yes.
And we found out that at Dreamworld, there's a little area for kids. It's called Wiggle World.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, you're forgiven for missing it. Mm. It's not the hugest part of the park, and it's kind of in the middle. Like, if you go on the adventure rides around the outside, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
In the middle. But it's definitely there. My son, Charlie, who we paid hundreds to get there, you know, pretty much holidayed around Brisbane and the Gold Coast. This is
for
one of
that.
The main reasons we went down there.
Yeah.
And this is him on the first ride we put him on, the big red boat.
Charlie! Oh, no. He's not enjoying himself.
I screamed the whole time.
How embarrassing.
So you can still see the video of that at our socials, at Cliffo and Gabby on Facey and Insta. But I was thinking, maybe there's a way to turn what was a really negative experience into a positive experience. Because screams can be useful. Like, screams can go viral. Screams can become very, very famous and iconic. A bit like, remember the goat? The screaming goat a few years ago?
Yes.
This guy? Remember that?
I very much do remember
that. Like, that went totally viral.
It did.
Right? Like, imagine if we mixed down Charlie with the goat.
Oh, my God.
This is what you would get. See, there's potential here.
Oh, my God.
With these screams, Gabby. There's another very, very famous scream from one of my favourite movies. We talk about it all the time, Home Alone.
Mm-mm.
You might remember where, you know, Marv and Harry are the bad guys. Mm. And Marv, the one with curly hair. Buzz, the big brother's spider, crawls up onto his face.
Big tarantula.
Remember, he's petrified and he just screams.
Mm.
Like, what if we were to mix down Marv and Charlie together? This is what you get. Makes it even more
iconic.
Terrifying, right? What about the world of music? There's lots of screaming in the world of music, including our very own iconic Aussie, Barnsley. Like, what if we were to, you know, pair up Barnsley and Charlie for a collab. AC/DC? I'm going to leave you on one more. AC/DC, because I don't think there's any more screamy mainstream Aussie rock band than Aka Daka. Mm. What if you mix Charlie Down, his screams from Wiggle World, with Aka Daka? Classic. My son is going to make horror movie history.
He is.
With those scripts one day.
We are trying to get a little bit of education into the show this week with school being delayed and holidays being extended. And who better to answer our science questions than Dr. Carl? Welcome.
Dr. Gabby, look, thank you so much for having me on.
It's so great to have you on. It's a shame that we are on the radio because I always like to look at you, Dr. Carl. Your outfits are always quite visually pleasing.
Beautiful.
What are you wearing today?
I'm wearing a t-shirt, which has been cut with a pair of scissors right at the back. And then the two halves have got Velcro sewn onto them because I am in a sling for rotator cuff surgery because evolution made a mistake with the shoulder. So the hip joint I love. It's a ball and socket, and they fit nicely.
Yeah.
However, the shoulder joint is kind of like a golf ball rolling on a fairly shallow soup plate, and you need four little muscles to hold it in place. And by the time you get to 50, half of everybody has torn their supraspinatus, and they don't know it.
Wow!
I know. And so I've had a bit of surgery done on mine, and there are 9 bits of string inside my shoulder holding together. So to answer your question, what am I wearing? A unique garment, which is a t-shirt cut in half up the back with a bit of Velcro, or long strips of Velcro joining them together.
Pretty much a hospital gown.
I had no idea that, that question would get such a good scientific answer. But what else could we expect? You're Dr. Carl, you're the science man. If you don't mind, we've actually had a heap of kids who listen to the show contribute some science questions.
Lovely, let's go.
And they've got no one to go to because school's not happening at the moment. So first up, this is little Eli who's got a question for you, Dr. Carl.
Hi, Dr. Carl, it's Eli here. How do magnets work?
How do what work?
How do magnets work?
Two words, unpaired electrons. Okay, now let's just run back a bit. You've got to know that everything is made of atoms. And atoms, if you want to look at it, are kind of like a mini solar system, kind of, maybe, and more like a pea in the middle of a big football field. Now, the pea has got practically all of the weight, it's very heavy, and then there's a lot of empty space until you get out to where the spectators are, and that's where the electrons are. If you have an odd number of electrons, or the electrons are not in pairs, you can end up with something being mismatched, and you go physics, 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 and that can end up with magnetism.
Oh, you've explained that so well. That's awesome. All right, well,
I think
that one's answered.
To 8-year-old Eli and to 30-something-year-old Gabby.
I'm shocked. That's amazing. All right, let's go to question number 2 from Marnie.
Why do I yawn after seeing people yawn?
So why do I yawn after seeing people yawn?
You yawn because you, firstly, are a kind, compassionate person, and secondly, that you can show it. So you might be very kind and compassionate, but if you're shy, you might not be able to say, oh, I really like you, Gabby and Cliffo. And if you're shy, you might, then that would mean that you're less likely to be able to catch a yawn from somebody. So we don't know why we yawn, but we know that we do. We know that yawning is linked in the brain to stretching your arms. And here comes a special word for you when you do crosswords. The word is called pandiculation, and pandiculation. And what it means is that you yawn at the same time as stretching your arms. And this was first noted by a doctor in the 1920s who noticed that he had some patients who had had strokes, and no matter how hard they tried, they could not move, say, their right arm. But when they yawned, they could. And there was a separate yawn center. And also, yawning is a sign of a recovery from a sudden, sharp illness. And thirdly, if I keep on talking about yawning, you'll feel the desire to yawn with the jaw muscles.
You got it. I was going to yawn. I'm like, this is weird. I can't.
These are so good. Question 3 is from Scott, Dr. Carl. Here we go.
Why do we sneeze more than once in a row?
Why do we sneeze more than once in a row?
Right. So firstly, sneezing is an incredibly powerful and important, very important reflex. If you get some crud in your food, like a bit of sand or dirt or something, mate, it'll come out on schedule at the other end after a while. Right. But if you get some crud into your lungs, mate, it's there forever, unless the cells known as the macrophages can eat it. And so we have this very powerful reflex, so that if there's a bit of crud in your airways, you'll sneeze it out to keep your lungs as clean as possible, because you've got to use those lungs with their 70 square meters of gas exchange area. That's about the size of the singles court in tennis on one side of the net.
Wow.
You've got to have that clean for the whole of your life with no crud, so that when you breathe, oxygen comes in and carbon dioxide comes out. So you have this powerful sneeze reflex.
Ah, okay. So just, you sneeze more than once because there's more than one sneeze worth of stuff to get out. That's a great question. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up with a question from Ellie. This is Ellie's question for you, Dr. Carr.
What causes a volcano to erupt when it has been quiet for so many years?
Bit of a dodgy phone line there, but Ellie said, what causes a volcano to erupt when it's been quiet for so many years?
Because it's all, it being the Earth, is a dynamic situation. Now, you might think that the crust of the Earth is solid because, hey, you walk around on it and it's solid, you go out on the beach and you get in the water and under the water it's solid. The solid bit of the Earth's crust is, in proportion, like a sheet of paper wrapped around a soccer ball. It's really thin. It's about 6 to 60 kilometers thick out of a total diameter of the Earth of about 12,700 kilometers. Right. Now, going down to the center is about 6,500 kilometers. And so from underneath the solid bit down to about halfway down is this sort of molten, gloopy, molten-y, slow-moving rock, which is basically red hot. Now, here's something else that makes it mucks up. At the surface, the crust is not fixed. There are about 13 so-called tectonic plates. The crust is broken up into these tectonic plates, which drift around the surface of the planet at roughly the rate your fingernails grow, which is about 5 to 10 centimetres a year. These cause stresses in the crust, and then sometimes the molten gloopy stuff underneath can come out to a due to a combination of a weakness in the crust combined with pressure underneath.
I've learnt more about volcanoes in that last 60 seconds than I have on my whole nearly 38 years on the planet.
This is a better education than what we had at school.
Who needs school? No, I didn't say that. A little science lesson, trying to fill the void with Queensland schools not open at the moment, with Dr. Carl this morning. And Dr. Carl's little book of climate change, it's available now. Dr. Carl, we love having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Clifford, Dr. Gabby. Look forward to doing it again.
Alpha Bucks is back for the last time this week in the morning, Friday morning, and $1,000 cash on the line, Gabby.
Here's a delicious clue for you. One of the answers, Oreo.
Oh, how good are they?
Yum.
Oreo.
And they're vegetarian.
They are vegan.
They are vegan.
There is
one step
not
ahead.
An animal product in them, not even milk. It uses soy milk in the creamy bits. There you go. Learn something every day.
In the creamy bits.
In the creamy bits. Love me creamy bits. Oreo is your free answer for Alpha Bucks for Friday morning on Hit. Gabby, there is a traitor amongst us. One member of the Cliffo and Gabby team has cheated on the show. I regret to bring this to the table, but I feel in the interest of honesty and openness, it must be done. Producer Brooke, you weren't listening to our radio station on Saturday just gone, were you?
No, I was not.
In fantasy, there was I. The Triple J Hottest 100 was on.
Majority of people, we give you a hall pass.
We do.
For the Hottest 100, and then you got to come back.
We let you have your filthy, dirty little fling
and then
with Triple J for one
day. We take you back with open arms.
And then, like a scorned woman or man, we bring you back on Monday morning with open arms. Now, you know, Triple J, it's all about the text line. All the presenters, I'll be honest, I think to Triple J presenters, I think all of us commercial radio people sound the same. But to us commercial radio people, all the Triple J presenters sound the same.
They'll have the same vibe.
I'm not quite sure who this was, but there was a presenter on the air and someone sent a text in. Now, I'm just going to play this to you now and then we'll bring producer Brooke in for questioning. But this is just live what went to air on Triple J during the Hottest 100 on Saturday just gone.
pretty brave of you as well to let us know quite intimately what you're up to. I know Bruiser says, I've been giving my boyfriend hickeys in time to the beat of the music. Thanks for documenting my intimate life.
Don't forget you can...
Thank you, Bruiser. Only...
Now, Brooks, producer Brooks' nickname is Bruiser.
Oh, wow.
It's her Instagram and all that sort of stuff. And I did a little bit of digging, spoke to some people, some mutual friends and stuff like that. Producer Brooke, can you confirm or deny the Bruiser who texted into Triple J, was that you or not?
It was me.
And were you, in fact, giving a hit?
Yeah, was that real?
Was it true?
It's true.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a joke.
I didn't even think about you and Ryan doing that.
I thought she was kidding.
Anyway, well...
That's
you
a
rocked
lot of
up,
information.
You rocked up back here on Monday morning, so you're back on our team. But I thought on 13 1060, after Brooke got on the national broadcaster, after she got on Triple J on Saturday, extending her reach beyond Queensland, she's going nationwide now. But I thought 13 1060, what have you gotten on, everyone?
Yeah.
So has anyone gotten on, I don't know, Sunrise or like a game show or an ad or an extra on a TV show or a movie or 13 1060, what did you get on? Because Brooke got on Triple J, mate.
I got on, I think it was Sunrise or the Today Show very early in the morning one time.
Oh, is this when, because they, were you in the Martin Place thing for Sunrise?
No, I was
not. So this is when the weatherman or the weatherwoman travels around?
No, I managed to get on an infomercial that they played on one of the morning shows. I'm not allowed to say what the infomercial is because I signed an NDA, but it was like a weight loss product where I had to be like, I've lost this much weight due to this product.
Did you lose? No. All right, 13 1060 is the phone number. I can tell when you just come up with these on the spot. I need to give you forewarning. I can see your brain ticking over.
No,
should I tell this story or not? 13 1060 is the phone number. Give us a call. Who has gotten on Sunrise? I'm thinking more like the person in the background or whatever.
Yeah.
A game show or whatever. Mate of mine, Pete, he won a microwave on Wheel of Fortune in 1999.
Was that on Price is Right? That was my favourite show
Price
ever.
Price is Right. It's a good one. Catchphrase. Burjo's Catchphrase.
Mm.
A commercial. Have you been an extra on a TV show or movie or anything like that? Pete's here right now. Peter, what did you get on?
Would you believe ABC?
ABC. TV.
Radio. Which one?
ABC. ABC TV.
TV.
Amazing. So what were you doing? How'd you get on there?
Well, believe it or not, around 2003, 2004, bushfires.
Yeah.
Well, actually, ABC had a camera and a reporter also down there. Mm.
Yeah.
And they actually got me doing a small backburn.
Oh, wow. So you had to put on a little act in the background. How does appearing on the Cliffo and Gabby show rate to being on ABC TV back in 2004?
Oh, it's up there.
Yeah, it's up there.
There's a bit of hesitation there, Peter.
A little bit of a gap, Peter, but that's okay.
The Hit Breakfast Show.